The story I want to share with you today is about David and Goliath. You know the story well, don't you? But there are some things I just want to pick out that I think are really quite important. The thing that's the essential thing I want to share with you today about this passage of David and Goliath is that David was wearing spiritual armour, and Goliath was an emblem of the world. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, just flesh and blood, but there are evil powers at work, and if we're going to defeat them, as David defeated Goliath, then we need the spiritual armour, which what David was wearing, as we'll see as we go along. Anyway, here is a picture of the Valley of Elah. It's in Israel, as I'm sure you're aware, and this is where the troops assembled on either side of the hillsides. It says, King Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the Valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites the other, and the valley was between them. The Philistines are on one side, on the hill on one side, and the Israelites on the hill on the other side. Why didn't they go down into the valley? Can you tell me? That's right, they would be at a disadvantage. They'd be fighting uphill while their enemies be fighting downhill. So nobody goes into the valley. That's right, good. And then a champion named Goliath came out of the Philistine camp. He was about 9.5 feet tall. That's a pretty big guy, isn't he? He belonged to the descendants of the Anakim. They were the giants, you know, and he's one of them. Right, anyway, 9.5 feet tall, he had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armour, of bronze, and on his legs he wore bronze greaves and had a bronze spear. So, what does that tell you about the time when it was about?
Bronze Age.
The Bronze Age! Oh, very good! Yes, yes. Though the Philistines did develop iron as well later on, but yes, we've got bronze going here. The sons of Anak were giants. Yeah, and he's a descendant anyway. There we are, right, okay. possibly part related there, possibly, you never know. Right, okay, so he's a big lad, that's the point. And he's well wrapped, that's the other point. Right. Right, now Goliath stood and shouted to the Israelites, "Choose a man to come down to me." And he's in the valley, obviously, at the moment. "Choose a man to come down to me. If he's able to kill me, we will become your slaves. But if I kill him, you will become our slaves." So Goliath's really saying, let's make this easy. Why have a big battle? Let's just have a fight here, and then whoever wins, that's the battle over, you see? Very reasonable, isn't he? do you know why he's saying that? Because he thinks he's going to win. That's the only reason. Anyway, on hearing Goliath's words, King Saul and all the Israelites were terrified, right? So who's going to stick their head out? That's the point. That's really what it's about, isn't it? Goliath did this every morning for 40 days. It gets a bit boring after a while, I should think. But every morning for 40 days, he comes out and offers this challenge to the Israelites. And nothing's moving. They're all just up their side of the hill, watching each other. So that's what's going on, right? So every morning, Goliath offers this challenge. He's mocking the Israelites, really. That's what's going on as well. Well, meanwhile, a few miles away, that's down at, do you know where it is? Where did David live? What was David's hometown? Bethlehem. David's family came from Bethlehem. Right, anyway, that's where it was, a few miles down the road from the Valley of Ephah. Anyway, David's dad said to David, "Take this food to your brothers," that's cheese and bread basically, "take this food to your brothers and hurry to their camp. See how your brothers are getting on. They are with Saul and the army of Israel in the Valley of Elah fighting against the Philistines." Well, that's one of the most funny lines in the Bible, I think. There's no fighting going on at all, but the idea is they're supposed to be fighting. Anyway, David's elder brothers, remember, they're the ones that have the big strapping lads. They've gone off to the army, so they're in the Israel army. So David's got the job of taking some food for them, but it's actually David's dad's way of finding out how things are. He wants to know news about his lads, I guess. David arrived just as Goliath was challenging the army again. Right, so day 41, Goliath comes out and does his usual stuff. But today, was going to be different, because it's not going to turn out quite the way he thought. Interestingly, the thing about it is, you see, amazing how God's timing is. You see, I mean, David could have come at any time during the day, I suppose, he'd have never seen Goliath. But just at this time, Goliath pops his head out to make his usual statements and claims, you know, and challenges. And it's just when David arrives. See, God has his timing in all these things. David said to Saul, well, he said to all the men before that, you can read the story, it's in 1 Samuel chapter 17. David had a chat with the people around, saying, what's going to be for anybody who sorts this guy out? And they say, oh, the king's offered a fortune, and he's going to let his daughter be married to him as well. Anyway, David gets talking, his brothers tell him off, but the news comes to King Saul. So David is brought to Saul. David said, don't let anybody worry about this Philistine. I'll go and fight him. Now, was that sensible or not? Not in human terms, but David has a different spirit, you see. David sees things from God's perspective. That's part of the armour, to be able to see things from God's perspective. We're not just wrestling flesh and blood. There's a battle going on that's spiritual. And if we know we're in a spiritual battle, we know who to draw our resources from. So, anyway, Saul is thinking very much in human terms. He says, you can't do that. You're only a young man. And he's been a fighter from his youth. So he's a professional, this guy. You can't go face him. And what Saul's objection is, David's young. Yeah, inexperienced. He doesn't know what he's doing. That's basically it, you know. Isn't that amazing, yeah? When do people say you're not qualified to do what God wants you to do? When they think you can't do it. That's why, yeah. But God says you can do it if you're going to do it. So David, even if he's inexperienced and not qualified as a soldier, David says, we can sort this one out. But David said to Saul, I've been looking after my father's sheep. That's a great reply, isn't it? What experience have you got, David? Well, I've been looking after sheep. Well, that's good, isn't it? well, the story doesn't end there, because in those days, looking after sheep wasn't a cosy little job, because in the country at that time, they're not there now, of course, but in the country at that time, there were wild lions. David says, when a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Ha! Oh, that's not bad, is it? What would you do if you got sheep and you saw a lion and a bear coming after him? Well, that's just one less. That's what you'd say, I know. But David felt responsible for his sheep. Isn't there a lesson there for him? For us, you know, God feels responsible for his sheep. That's the wonderful thing. Yeah, and he's not willing to let them get caught and killed. So David goes after the sheep, and then the lion, or the bear, turns on David, because fancy having the cheek to come and pinch his dinner, you see? So when it turned on David, David, undeterred, grabs it by the beard and sticks a knife in it. That's not bad, is it? Yeah, well, I think when you've had a bit of practice sorting out lions and bears, the kinds of Goliath don't really count very much, do they? Anyway, he says this, I've killed lions and bears. This Philistine will be like one of them, because he's defied God's army. Now then, David is doing something really amazing here. He's seeing with spiritual eyes again, because he's saying, the reason this guy's finished is two reasons. Number one, he's defied God, really. That's the thing, yeah? He doesn't know that there's a God involved, but he's calling Israel God's army. Well, would you have called that load of yellow bellies God's army? Not really, would you? But David sees them as what they will be, as well as what they are, you see. He's a bit of a Barnabas in a way, isn't he, you know. He can see what God's going to do with them, but he says, you know, these are God's people. Goliath can't take them on, he's an idiot, right, so. And then he says this is amazing, David says, the Lord who rescued me from the paws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. Yeah, God's done it in the past, God's helped me in the past, This is no different. Yeah? So I'm going to be okay. God's going to sort this one out. That's called faith. Did you know that? Well, good, David. I love this story. Great picture, this. Then Saul put a coat of armour on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he wasn't used to them. I can't go in these, he said. So he took them off. Yeah, do you know what he's saying? Your weapons, your armour, is no good. Won't do the job. Right? He's got a different armour he's wearing. You can't see it, but he's got definitely got a different armour on. He doesn't need the world's stuff and all their equipment. Yeah, it's not that that's going to win the battle. So he says, can't have this stuff on. I think he must have felt like a sardine, you know, inside the big. But remember, Saul's armour was big, because Saul was bigger than most people. So, anyway, silly picture, but it gives you the idea. Then, he took his staff in his hand, that's his shepherd's staff, and chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, and put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached Goliath. So he takes what he's used to, right? It's his weapons that he's got used to. And it says, there's several interesting things about this. It says, he chose 5 smooth stones from the stream. Do you know why? Goliath had 4 brothers. There were 4 brothers and 1 Goliath. That makes 5, yes? Right. And so, you reckon that Goliath's brothers were in the army as well? I don't think so. No. It's a great line. It's a good line that Goliath's got 4 more brothers and David's going to take them all on. But it wasn't David that took them all on. There was one of David's mighty men that slew the brother called Lamy of Goliath. You can read it later on in Chronicles and so on. But, no, why is the reason David picked up 5 stones? Would you like to guess? Anybody of you used catapults before? Because this is a catapult, really. He wouldn't need any more. Yeah, I'm sure he knew that. But yeah, why 5? Why did he just take 1? No. Well, I'm guessing. But I think, having used catapults and whatever, I've got an idea. I think David's thinking, if I miss him with the first one, I'll get him with the second. If I miss him with the second, I'll keep going until I knock him down. Got the idea? Like Cromwell said, yeah, trust in God and keep your powder dry. You've got your reserves to use, eh? Right? So I think David is really, it shows David's determination. The 5, to my mind, say David is not going to come back empty. He's going to sort out Goliath, right? And if it takes 5 stones it will be. But obviously he only needed 1. The other thing that's important about this is David goes with this sling. Right, now then, how good are you with a catapult? Not very good. No. Well, I made a catapult to get rid of the cats in our garden, you know. Yeah, and I'm a fairly good shot, but I don't aim for them. But, all you cat lovers out there, all I do is scare them, right? So when they see me now, they run. Yeah, that's the idea. But anyway, the point about it is, if you're going to be a good shot with a catapult or a sling, you need to practice. Yeah? You got to practice. It's no good saying, oh, I can do this now, and dead easy sort of thing. David learned his trade looking after his sheep, yeah? In other words, God used the skills he got and that he developed in order to win the battle. Great lesson, yeah? Yeah, God uses workers is what I'm getting at. If you're prepared to put in the work, God will use it. That's the way it works. Okay, so David, he's got his bullets and he's got his gun, so he's going for Goliath now. Right. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, because he's got an enormous shield as well, kept coming closer to David. So they're drawing up closer to David. He looked at David and saw that he was just a boy, and he despised him. What's that tell you about Goliath? He's proud, arrogant, and he can't see. He can't see. All he saw was just a boy. David wasn't just a boy, he was God's boy. Yeah, that's different. Very different. He wasn't just a boy, he's God's man for the job. Right, so Goliath looks at him and despised him, and arrogant, yeah. And he said to David, am I a dog that you come up with me with sticks? Alright, yes, thinks it's a bit of an insult, right? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll feed you to the birds and the wild animals." Right, so tear you limb from limb is what he's really saying, isn't it? Yeah. So what's happening there? Think this is a spiritual battle now, right? It's not just natural. What's Goliath doing? What's the enemy doing?
Intimidation.
That's the word. Yes. Yes. Get you to think about how many small pieces you'll be in by the time he's finished with you. Right? It's intimidation. It's trying to. The battle's fought in your mind before you start using your fists. Yeah? That's what's going on here. There's a battle in the mind. Because the Philistine's trying to curse David. Well, there's a great verse in Proverbs. Like a darting swallow or a fluttering sparrow, an undeserved curse will never come to rest. You got it? He can curse David all he likes, right? He's going to bounce off because David's got the armour of God on. He's thinking differently, as we'll see in the next one. David said, this is one of the most amazing verses, I love this one, yeah, or section anyway. "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I'll give the bodies of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals." Yes, the birds and the wild animals are going to get a meal, but it won't be me, it'll be you. Right, now what's David doing here? Remember, it's a spiritual battle. What's he using? What he's doing is he's using the sword of the Spirit. He's using the word of God. God says it's his battle, he's going to sort it out, he's going to fix you, boy, and I'm going to be part of the way he's doing it. He's using the word, really. Yeah? So he's fighting with the word of God, right, and he's telling him what's coming. It's a prophecy, of course. Right, so, yeah, there you are. You see, spiritual battle all the way. Right, then. So, and just do you think, how did Goliath, what do you think Goliath's reaction would be when he heard David talking like that? I think it stopped him. I think it stopped him. For the first moment in his life, he thought he's just met up with something. It's because it's the word of God. It stopped. I'm sure it stopped him in his tracks. Yeah? Goliath thinks he's got it. He thinks he was going to win, and all of a sudden, it looks like he's going to lose. That's the point. I really do believe that. Yeah? The word of God has that powerful effect against the enemy. Right, so, and this is the line I think is absolutely astounding. Yeah? And it just makes my hair stand on end when I read it, you know. "And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saved. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you, all of you, into our hands." Right? Why is David so confident that he's going to win? It's because God's going to get the glory, and everybody's going to know that God is the God that's the real one. Yeah? None of the Goliath's gods that he cursed David by, the real God is the one who's going to be glorified. The whole world will know that there is a God in Israel, and that's where the real God is to be found, isn't he? It's the God of Isaac, Jacob and Abraham. Right, and then he shows them, he says, the battle isn't all about spears and things, you know. All your military stuff isn't what it's about. God can fix you without needing all this armour. That's the point. And he's going to hand you over. That's the next one. Right, so, as Goliath moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. So Goliath is clumping along. You see, he's well canned, you know. He's got lots of armour on him. Goliath is clumping along, and David runs towards him. Why does he run towards him? Instead of running away. It's a bigger target. That's the point. The nearer you get, the bigger the target. I mean, people talk about Goliath, you know. Some people say, "Oh, he's so big, I'm done." Yeah? And David says, "He's so big, I can't miss him." Right, so, as Goliath moved closer, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. Right. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. So he totally stunned him with this stone. What's that tell you about Goliath? Anything? About your enemy?
He's vulnerable.
He's vulnerable. Whatever armour he's got, he's got a weak point. There's a weak spot somewhere in his armour. And the weak spot for Goliath was his face. Yeah, you've heard of the phrase the Achilles heel. That's in Greek mythology, basically. And the thing that the problem for this hunter chap was, he had an exposed heel, and that's where he got caught by it. Yeah. Anyway, Goliath's face is the problem. Right, so David hits him in the forehead and he falls to the ground. So David defeated the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck him down and killed him. See, David didn't have his own any weapons. He finished Goliath off with his own sword, in fact. David ran and stood over him. Yes. And now remember, this is a spectator battle. The Philistines are watching and the Israelites are watching. And it's not going the way the Philistines expected, is it? And it's not going the way King Saul expected it either, I think. Right? So David ran and stood over him. He took hold of Goliath's sword and drew it from its sheath. After he killed him, he cut off his head. He's not coming to be doing any more cursing, is he? That's him. He's finished. Right. Now, the effect of that was on all the rest of them. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. Yes? Why did they run? Because they're a powerful army. Why did they run? They've been totally demoralized. Yeah? Their hero's gone. What they were trusting in has come to nothing. That's what God can do. He can take away what people are trusting in and bring it to nothing. And the thing that demoralized the Philistines was the thing that energized the Israelites. Then the men of Judah and Israel surged forward. Notice the word surge there. That's, they got moving pretty fast then, didn't they? Now it is the army of the living God at last, yeah? They surged forward with a shout and chased the Philistines. And remember, they're going uphill while the Philistines are running uphill. Right? They're fighting from the disadvantage, but they've got the advantage that they know God's been fighting for them. And the dead were strewn all along the way, road to Gath. Gath is where they came from. That's the coastal area where they were coming from, yeah? So that was the great defeat, wasn't it? So some questions for you, yes? And these are the practical ones about this whole matter of David and Goliath, yeah? How do you think David got to know God so well?
Spending time with him.
Spend time, yeah? You'd have thought, well, his dad thought being a shepherd, and his brothers thought being a shepherd was just, you know, a useless job. You know, you have to look after sheep, but that's it. David made the job of looking after the sheep an opportunity to spend time with the Lord. Yeah. Yeah, it's time spent with the Lord, somewhere or another. I mean, he was doing his job, and yet he could find fellowship with the Lord, you see. There's no such thing as a sort of holy, holy place, in a sense. It could be anywhere if you're seeking God, yeah. And then, when David was attacked by the lion and the bear that were after his father's sheep, do you think he was scared?
No.
The first time, I think he was a bit anxious, yes? I think he could well have been a bit nervous. You know, lions and bears are not toys. Yeah, they're not. Right? I think he was anxious, he was worried, but he was trusting the Lord. Yeah? And that's really important to grasp that. You know, we shouldn't let fear stop us. We can, and sometimes are afraid of situations, but that shouldn't stop us. There was a tremendous thing about, I've quoted this before, one of the generals during the Iraqi war, I believe it was, he had a great commendation for rescuing men who'd been injured, and he brought them through a minefield to rescue them. And they were questioning him afterwards and saying, you know, weren't you scared? He says, of course I was scared, but that didn't stop me doing what was right. Yeah. Fear mustn't be the controlling factor. We're allowed to get scared of lions and sheep, not lions and sheep, lions and bears. Maybe get scared of sheep sometimes as well. They can be funny things, you know. But anyway, you got the idea. David overcame his fears, right? And the fact that he overcame his fears with the lions and bears made Goliath a much easier option later on. Yeah. Some people have said, you know, God trains you in the little things first in order for you to take on the big things. Well, that may be true, but I think lions and bears are fairly big things to start with. But anyway, there we are. Okay, next question. What had happened to David so that he was less afraid of Goliath than the soldiers were? was less afraid of Goliath than the soldiers were, even though he was smaller and younger. What had happened to David so that he wasn't like the soldiers, scared of Goliath? Yeah, he had experience of God helping him. Yes, and that was, he was drawing on what God had done. That's the point. Yeah. So David was in a better position than the soldiers were, and he knew God. That's the point. He trusted the Lord. Right. So that's that one. And then two more questions. Why doesn't God just stop bad experiences? Wouldn't it be lovely? You know the song. Wouldn't it be lovely? Why doesn't God just stop bad experiences? You won't grow. You won't grow. No. Faith that's not tried isn't real. You never know if it's real or not. Yeah. But God knows what you can take. I mean, I've said that before. He knows what you can take, but my idea of it and his aren't always the same. But there we are. But God allows things, and we ought to understand he allows these things in order to train us, in order to make us stronger in our faith, that we can be more of service to God and bring him more glory. I mean, beating a lion and a bear is pretty good, you know, but taking on the Philistine army, God gets a lot of glory through that, doesn't he? Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many times David had to face lions and whatever, but he sorted them out anyway. Anyway, last one here. Where would David have been if Goliath hadn't threatened the soldiers? He'd still be feeding his sheep, as far as I can make out. Yeah. Those opportunities of challenge of the enemy poking his nose in are opportunities for God to begin to start getting some action. Yes, and training his servants. David, you could say, was catapulted into prominence before Israel. Yeah. Some people say, you know, you don't need to push yourself to get to the front if God wants you at the front. Yeah. And that's what he did with David. Yeah. David was wanting God's glory. That was what it was about. Okay. He's broken the chains. He's the master. He's the champion. Yeah. That's our Lord. Isn't that good? Yeah. 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 It's an amazing story, isn't it? It's wonderful.